Open it in Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. And I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. God is attracted to your need. Let me say that again. God is attracted to your need. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Whenever you read about darkness in the Word of God, primarily, it's about issues and needs and hurts and sicknesses and all of those kind of things that come into the lives of individuals. If you go to Canada, and particularly Western Canada, they have these marvelous mountain ranges, and many little towns are in the base of these mountain ranges. And for them that live there, it is constantly overcast. And people that move there are told, you need to move out of this place once a month to a major city where there is light. Because if you don't, you will end up suffering severe depression and oppression. Even offices of businesses have lights that replicate daylight in order for people to survive. Darkness always brings issues. Most crime is done at night. Talk to me. All right. There are over 50 biblical figures of speech. And the one I want to deal with tonight is called the law of first mention. The law of first mention is always the first occurrence of something that happened. It is very important. The first mentioned establishes an unchangeable pattern with the subject, remaining unchanged throughout Scripture, and is connected to the mind of God. So in this passage of Scripture tonight, the law of first mention is that God spoke to the darkness and turned it into light. Come on, are you with me? All right. And when God said, "Light be," and there was light, the original Hebrew translation of that goes like this. God said, "Light be," and light was. It happened so fast that they had to put it in the past tense. And that is how quickly God can move into the arena of darkness and bring light to it. God spoke into the darkness. It was a God word to the darkness. He spoke it to change it, and light came. Not the light of the sun, for that was created on the fourth day. God was proving to mankind, I don't have to have another source to create what I want to create, to change what I want to change. What does this mean tonight? When our life is out of order, when chaos exists, sickness needs healing, pain is overtaking us, we need help with finances and family issues, and it goes on and on and on, darkness has come, God is not turned off by your need or your trouble. God is attracted to your need. Come on, hallelujah. He doesn't look at it and say, oh, that's too much. He's attracted to it. And he's created a principle of speaking light into darkness. And that will always happen. He wants, I repeat, to turn your darkness into light. All he has to do tonight is speak a word to your darkness. He wants to come into the midst of your darkness and bring creative order to it so he can make something beautiful out of it. We need to get a word from God. Here's the issue as a traveling ministry that I always have to face. People think I'm the one that brings it. But I don't. And then people that have absolutely no understanding of the Word of God goes, well, he's got a gift of healing and I don't. Jesus is the healer. God is the healer. Can you say amen? And you don't need a touch of my hand. What you need is a word from God that'll come into your darkness and change it into light. Hallelujah. God's word is always creative and it is always authoritative. Nothing can overpower God's word. God was showing his word is so creative that when he speaks, it happens and it comes to pass. All throughout Scripture, God brought light to darkness. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he said, we were brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. Darkness is not associated with God. Light is associated with God. Hallelujah. Now, God does not speak just to communicate. God speaks to create. To bring light into your darkness. His word is motivated by love. Mobilized in light. And manifested in life. Let me say that again. Is it going up there? Not quite with us. His word is motivated by love. Mobilized in light. And manifested as life. Numbers 23 verses 19 to 20 says this. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, he has received commandment to bless, and he shall bless. And he cannot reverse it. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. God cannot lie. I have people say, God can do everything. No, he can't do everything. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. What God has said, God is going to do. Come on, hallelujah. Let me say that again. What God has said, God is going to do. He will not even repent of it. He will not change or alter his word. Let me just say this to you. Even if God didn't like you, but he does. He won't even change or alter his word so you can't have light come into your darkness. He will do it all the time. All the time. And not only that, he cannot reverse it. So tonight, you need, I need, a word from God into our spirit that will affect our soul, which is mind, emotion, and will. And of course, our body. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of my word gives light." No darkness. When God comes, there's no darkness, there is light. In Psalm 27, verse 1, says, "The Lord is my light." It is God's plan and God's purpose that you and I walk in light. Well, I know somebody this happened. No. This is not about somebody else. This is about you. God's plan is that you and I walk in light. We cannot have, as believers, light and darkness together. When you have darkness, you cannot see where you're meant to be going. Here's the challenge to you and I tonight, to every one of us here. This is to dream big dreams. Allow God to enlarge your capacity and enlarge your influence. God is ready to take you to another dimension. Come on, hallelujah. Leonardo da Vinci, the great painter, said this: "The problem in life is not we aim too high and miss it. The problem in life is we aim too low and hit it." Should have been a scripture. Everything God does begins with a word. If we have a word from God, that changes everything. In John 1 verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God's Word is God. Come on, hallelujah. Don't tell me you love God and you don't read His Word. Come on, are you hearing me? I've got a great friend up on the Sunshine Coast. And he started to attend a Bible school in the church we attend when we're home, which was never. And the president of the Bible school came to me and said, "You know so-and-so, your friend?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "He told us he never reads the Word of God." I went, "Are you serious? He's been saved all these years and he never reads the Word of God?" He said, "Yeah, he told the whole school that." I said, "Well, that makes sense." He said, "What do you mean?" "That's why he's always got the trouble he's got. Because the Word is creative and it brings light into darkness." Come on, hallelujah. Wow. I'm quoting from the American translation of the New Testament. Some people call it the Edgar J. Goodspeed translation. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, Paul said this: "I have a great and promising opportunity." Wow. In other words, I have an opportunity to do something I've never done before, and it comes by a word from God. Jesus is the illustration of God's word. Now watch this. When Jesus showed up in the New Testament, religious leaders didn't know what to do with him. Are you with me? Okay. And it wasn't because he did miracles. I had a preacher preach on this. It's all the miracles he did. It had nothing to do with the miracles. Here's what they said in John 7:46. They said, "No man ever spoke like this man." They couldn't understand his word because his word brought light to darkness and his word brought life and it created opportunity. Come on, hallelujah. And no normal man can do that. When God gets ready to deal with a situation, He doesn't have to show up personally. Wow. He simply sends his word. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. All God has to do, I repeat, is send his word. We need to be impregnated with the word of God. Remember what I said a few moments ago. When God speaks his word, it's creative and authoritative. When God said, let there be light, the atmosphere became impregnated with his word. Here's the revelation today. The word that happened in the Old Testament happened in the New Testament and is still happening today. Let me just give you one of them. You'll know it. Isaiah 53 verse 5. By his stripes we are healed. It's a prophetic word about the cross, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, how he became our sin and our sickness. That's the word. In 1 Peter 2 verse 24 it says, by whose stripes you were healed back at the cross. I'm not trying to get God to heal me today. I'm trying to get what he's already done. Come on, hallelujah. A little different attitude. We've gone from past to present tense. Or present tense to past tense. That's a creative word. Remember Luke 7 verses 1 to 10, the Roman centurion. He had a servant that was sick of the palsy near death. He hears about Jesus. Now you have to understand about this. That Roman leader was supposed to have nothing to do with Jesus. Absolutely nothing. So he sends elders to Jesus, asks him to come to his house to minister to the servant. When Jesus gets near the house, the centurion now sends some friends to Jesus and says, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is speak the word only. And then he made this astounding statement. I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to them, go and they go, come and they come, do this and they do it. How much more will your word respond to that sick man when you speak it? Because you are a man of authority. So that's all you have to do. And my servant will be healed. When they get home, they discover the servant is healed. And here's what Jesus said. I have not found such great faith in all of Israel as I found in that Roman centurion who's an absolute unbeliever. Come on, are you hearing me? Why? Because the man's faith and hope and trust was in the word of God. Hallelujah. And he knew when Jesus would speak that word, light would come into the darkness. Tonight as I'm ministering, there's a word being spoken into your spirit. It's a creative word. It's a power-packed word. Miracles will break forth. Dreams will be released and fulfilled. You're not at the end of your life. You're at the beginning of your life. Come on, hallelujah. Your life is not over. It's just beginning. Glory to God. In the church that Kathy and I attend when we're home on the Sunshine Coast, they always get me to speak to the elderly people. It's a sizable group, several hundred. And I'm telling them all the time, wake up. Get moving. It's not over. Stop waiting to die. And every meeting, a group of them will come to me and say, why don't you attend our meetings when you're home? I don't want to attend your meetings. You are believing to die. I go to the youth meetings. Come on, hallelujah, where there's life. Come on, are you hearing me? I had an 81-year-old man tell me today he's thinking of going back to building. God love him. Come on, hallelujah. That's what he wants to do. Something's happening in your spirit. Something's coming alive. Something's been quickened. In John 11, verses 38 to 44, it's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. A couple of interesting things there. Number one, Lazarus is in a tomb. It's a great big, they call it a stone. It's a massive rock over the front. Jesus went down to the tomb, but he never went inside the tomb. Are you with me? He stands outside and he shouts, "Roll the stone away." He didn't even send his disciples into the tomb. Jesus shouted out, "Lazarus, come forth." He sent a living word into a dark, dingy tomb with a dead man. And out of that dark, dingy tomb came a living man that previously had been dead. And all that happened was the word of Jesus went into the tomb and brought light to darkness. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to preach in a minute. I've come here tonight. I'm on fire tonight. Look out. It's to tell someone, even though your promise, your future, your body, your situation seems dead and dark, God is sending a word to bring light into your situation. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. You might have walked in here downhearted, but you're going to walk out rejoicing. You might have walked in here with tears running down your face, but you're going to laugh with a spirit of joy all the way out. Hallelujah. Because light is coming into your darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Not bad for an old dude, eh? There's a word coming into your spirit. It's creating something. You're becoming pregnant with it. And you will give birth to it. In Luke 1, verses 26 to 56, the great, great story of Mary the Virgin. The angel of the Lord comes and says, "You're going to have a baby." Now, can you imagine the utter shock to her? She hasn't known any man. "It's impossible," she says. But the angel of the Lord replies, "With God, all things are possible." Mary replies, watch this, "Let it be done to me according to your word." Come on, hallelujah. Not according to your idea, according to your word, because the word is creative and authoritative. Hallelujah. And the word can do things that can't be done naturally. Mary then goes over to Elizabeth's house. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, carrying John, as we know, John the Baptist. And Elizabeth said this, When Mary entered her house, the baby leapt within me, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. When you are carrying the promise of God, the Word of God, you will feel something move within you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the atmosphere of faith. And if I dare can say this tonight, it's this. When you're out there believing God for a word to come to change darkness into light, don't hang around unbelievers. I'm talking about Christian unbelievers. Hang around those that believe in faith. Hang around those that will stand with you. Hang around those that will pray with you. Hang around those that will talk with you and encourage you and help you. Hallelujah. Don't hang around people that tell you it can't be done, it won't be done, it's impossible. They are, well, I'm going to keep, they are faith destroyers. I'm going to say something else. Come on, are you hearing me? And Kathy and I were going to Lima. We head there on Thursday. I had some wonderful people that stood with us. I had people that said to me, man, wish I could do it. And they're younger than we are. I had people that said, go for it. I had people that said, don't understand it, but go for it. But like I told you this morning, I had one or two that told me to go home and retire and play golf. I don't want to hang around those people. Come on, can you say amen? I want to hang around faith people. We told Pastor this. Kathy and I arrived at 3 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock in the morning, we meet the pastor. We're living in 2 rooms of cold water. I hate that. And he says to me, how are the accommodations? I thought, if I tell him they're really lousy, he's not going to think much of me. So I said, well, Robert, they're adequate. And he roared with laughter and he said, now you're a missionary. And he looks at me and he looks at Kathy. He said, our church goes 100 miles an hour. We've got 18,000 people and we're growing every week. And every service, people get saved. We've got 6 campuses. Not because they're trying to get out and take over churches like they do in Australia. It's because they can't find a building big enough. Some of them are only 2 kilometers away. And he said, we'll give you a few weeks, 3 weeks to take it easy. Then we go for it. At that point, they were having 26 services a week. Now it's 32. I preached 11 times the first week. They took it easy on me. Come on, hallelujah. And he told me one day, he said, I'm not treating you like an old man. You're going to run and not be weary. You're going to mount up on the wings of eagles. You're going to lead us into battle. I said, that's me, man. Come on, let's go. Come on, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The moment you get a word from God, it's wonderful. It's awesome. It'll stir you up. But you haven't arrived until what happened to Paul happens to you when he said, there will be adversaries. Now some people, when they get some people that come against them, they go, oh, what's wrong? Nothing is wrong. You are in exactly the right place. Come on, hallelujah. I had a dear old saint of God years ago told me, Pastor Al, when it's God, everything goes easy. how wrong she was. Come on, are you hearing me? There will be adversaries. Joshua encountered giants in the wilderness before he went into Canaan. Come on. You will have to overcome. You will have to fight. You will have to get up and run. Hallelujah. But that darkness has been turned into light so you can see where you're going. David had to fight the giant Goliath. Oh, I love the story of David. I love him. He's just a teenager. All he's good for is to take food up to his brothers. That's all he does. And he goes up one day and he hears the giant Goliath, who's humongous, saying, "Somebody come out and fight me, winner take all." And there's nobody in the camp of Israel that'll go out and fight him. David's looking around going, "What's wrong with these dudes?" Well, I called it dudes. He didn't say that. My words. So he goes and he tells somebody, "I'll go fight him. God help me slay a bear. God help me slay a lion." Anything that's happened in your life is getting you ready for the moment when that word God gave you is going to bring birth to your dream. So then they tell the king. I love it. King calls him in. He's 17 years of age. He says, "Yeah, I'll go fight him." King says, "All right, you better put my armor on." Now, if I was in that tent and David was putting the king's armor on, I wouldn't tell you, I wouldn't have had a lot of confidence in him. Because the king was way bigger than him. When he puts the armor on, it's too big and it's too heavy and he can't walk. At that point, I'm out of there. David said, "Let's get rid of this stuff." All he's got is a slingshot. And he goes out. He finds 5 smooth stones. I mean, he had to go down to the river and he had to be particular about the stones that he's getting that he might have to use. 5 stones. If you're into typology, 5 ministry gifts. Pastor, teacher, prophet, apostle, and evangelist. I think he used the stone of the evangelist. Some of you go, "Huh?" Yeah. And Goliath's yelling all kinds of things to him, and David says, "You need to understand something, Goliath. You're not coming against the armies of Israel. You're coming against the armies of the living God. And this day I'll smite you and I'll take your head from you." And he don't even have a sword. I love it, man. I love it. Hallelujah. And Goliath's so insulted that this kid is coming out to fight him. And he isn't even trained in the art of war. All he's got is a slingshot and 5 stones. Send somebody out here that knows what he's doing. David swings the slingshot and the stone goes into his head, kills the giant. And later on, David kills his 4 brothers. Come on, hallelujah. David, "I'm not taking one down, I'm taking them all down." Come on, are you hearing me? God wants to turn your light into darkness. Your darkness into light. Ah, you were listening. God wants to turn your darkness into light. Come on, hallelujah. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? Something crazy is going to go on and you're going to say, "What's going on? What's happening?" Oh no, God's giving you an opportunity to turn darkness into light. Come on, are you hearing me? Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've finished. That's enough.